the book of Ruth, if you'll look with me in the fourth chapter, Ruth chapter number four. We've looked at Elimelech and Naomi. This was a husband and wife who led their family, their two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, away from God's land of promise into the land of Moab. And in Moab, Mahlon and Chilion, the two sons, meet two women and marry them. They are foreigners. They're Moabitesses. And one's name is Orpah. The other's Ruth. Mahlon and Chilion, the sons of Elimelech and Naomi, die. Elimelech dies. And now you've got three ladies. You've got Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. Ruth decides that she, even though she is from a pagan land and pagan ancestry, she decides that she will make Naomi's God her God, and she cleaves to Naomi and goes back to the land of promise. She goes there without the promise of a husband, without the hope and the brightness that would come from being a Jew in this day. But she goes anyway. She chooses God, and God proves himself faithful. When we come to this fourth chapter of the book of Ruth, we see an exciting thing happening. We have a wedding, a baby, and a very bright future. I want to read this to you. Ruth chapter number 4 and verse number 13. It's the end of it. It's the conclusion of the matter. Ruth chapter 4, verse number 13. The Bible says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez beget Hezron. Hezron beget Ram. Ram beget Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David." Now we come to the conclusion of the story. And at the end of the story, everything is great. I mean, everything's great. The pieces have come together. God has been faithful, as he always is. And when we meet up and we see the last scene of the book of Ruth, we have a wedding, a happy wedding. We have a baby. We have a glowing grandmother and a very, very bright future. What a beautiful story. But I want you to know something. The story we find in the book of Ruth is not one that begins with brightness. It actually begins in a very rough situation, and there's some sin involved, and there's some wickedness involved, and there's paganism, and there's trouble, and death, and heartache, and grief. And as Naomi would testify, bitterness. But God moved, and God worked, and God blessed Ruth. Tonight I'd like to take just a minute and share with you the story of Ruth and a message about this lady, Ruth. The story that ends with a wedding and a baby and a bright future wasn't always that way. But I want to show you the turning point. There's two simple points to the message on Ruth tonight. Number one, Ruth's decision. Number two, God's provision. Now, it all begins here with Ruth's decision. Now, we start this passage of Scripture, and Elimelech has done a terrible thing. He's led his family away from the will of God. They've got to a season of despair. There's a famine in the land. And instead of sticking it out and trusting God and staying in the will of God, Elimelech acts in his flesh. and gets desperate and depends on the world, the provision that the flesh can provide. And it cost him dearly. Elimelech leads his family to Moab. In Moab, Elimelech dies. The two boys die. And finally, we see three widows, and they have a little conversation. Look what the Bible says in verse 14. The Bible says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." I want to begin this tonight with this simple point: Ruth's decision. Here's what Ruth did. Ruth chose God. Ruth chose the Word of God. Ruth chose the people of God. Ruth chose the will of God. Ruth made a decision that would impact her life. A decision to go with the principle as opposed to the emotion. But what happened to Elimelech? Elimelech did the exact opposite of Ruth. Elimelech got anxious and nervous and got ahead of God and stepped out of the will of God. But Ruth made a wise decision, and a decision that we all should take to heart. This is a theme that recurs over and over and over again in the Scripture, because obedience is so important to God. Why does God want you to obey? So that he can brag to the other gods in the universe that my followers obey. No, there's no other gods. He has no peers to impress. Why does God want you to obey him? To stroke his ego? No, God doesn't need an ego. If you can create the heavens and the earth in 7 days or less, you don't. There's nothing more to be proud of. You see, God is not like us in the fact that he's somehow trying to make us peasants and force us into obedience because it makes him feel bigger or better. He's as big as they can be. He encompasses everything. He's God. Why does God want us to obey him? Because he loves us. And he knows that if we obey him, then obedience to God's principles lead to the opportunity for God's blessing. And he also knows if we disobey him, that there is penalty for our actions. So God, over and over in the Scripture, emphasizes obedience. He says, obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obey. Honor, respect, revere God. And that's exactly what Ruth did. You see, Elimelech chose to act in his flesh, and it cost him everything. Ruth, a very unlikely candidate, a widow, a pagan, she said, "You know what? I'm going to obey the Lord." And when Orpah kissed Naomi and said, "Catch you later," Ruth clave to her and said, "I'm going to make your God my God." And obeying God made all the difference. You see, when we choose to obey God, then we unlock the potential for his blessing. Then we unlock the opportunity for his direction. We unlock the joy that only God can give. And we watch as this story unfolds. God blesses Ruth. God blesses Ruth in a mighty way. Look what the Scripture teaches us. Ruth's decision, her decision is very simple. She said yes to God. It leads us to our second point. Ruth's decision leads to God's provision. I want to show you a few things that God blessed Ruth with when she said yes to God. That, you know, there's no doubt Ruth had some questions. You know, if I move to God's country, I may never get married. You know, that was a concern. I may never get married. I may never be able to get a job. I may never be able to provide. There was no doubt some concerns. As a matter of fact, in the scripture, you might want to pay attention to it. Look at chapter 1, verse number 9, beginning in verse number 9. What was Naomi's great concern? Naomi was still being silly, and Naomi was encouraging Ruth and Orpah to stay back. And there was one thing they were worried about. You can tell me when I finish emphasizing this from the scripture, what the one thing that Naomi and Orpah was really worried about. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, verse number 9. Each of you in the house of her husband. Verse number 11, Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Verse number 12, turn again, my daughters. Go ye, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope. If I should have an husband also tonight. And should also bear sons. Would ye tarry there till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? What do you think they were worried about? They wanted a husband. Man, these three women, all three of them wanted a man. Bad. There's a difference here, though. Orpah was willing to do what was wrong to get her a man, to meet her perceived need. Ruth, she said, you know what? I'd rather honor the Lord, and if He wants me to get married, I'll get a man. I'll get married. She rested in the Lord. Now, I don't know for sure, but I can guarantee you, Orpah settled for a second-rate option when she chose her flesh and stayed in Moab. But we'll see in the story. And not only did Ruth get the first-rate option, God blessed her so much that her son was in the lineage of the Christ. You see, she made a choice. Let me tell you something about finding a spouse that's really helped me. When did Adam and Eve, when did Adam find his wife? I'll tell you. Adam fell asleep in the will of God. He fell asleep in the will of God and he woke up to God's perfect choice for him. God didn't sin against Adam and put him to sleep in order that he might take a rib and make a wife. Adam fell asleep in the will of God and God provided his need. And God provided it perfectly. You know what we need to do? If you're here and you're hunting, you need a man, you need a wife. Let me tell you something. Or anything else for that matter that's important to you. How do you get what's right? I'll tell you. You find yourself in the center of God's will, faithfully obeying the Lord. Your number one concern is that you obey God with your life and you honor the Lord with your actions and your deeds. Do you know what you're going to find? As you've got your hand to the plow, and you're looking straight ahead, serving God, plowing in the will of God, resting in the will of God. You know what you're going to find? All along the way, you're going to meet the perfect will of God. And God is going to put you in the right place. You know where I found my Ruth? Walmart. I did. You can get anything you need at Walmart. They got name brand wives over there, I'm telling you. I really did. It's funny. I like to tell that joke. But first time I ever met Ruth was in the fan section at Walmart. But you know what I had done? I had obeyed the Lord and struck out to Bible college. You know what she had done? She'd obeyed the Lord and struck out to Bible college. And we were living the faith life. We were obeying the Lord, living for God. And there she was in Walmart. Exactly the one I needed. And there's no return policy. I'm going to keep her. But you find God's will for your life when you're in God's will. People are so foolish to think that somehow they need to step out of God's will long enough to get what they want and then step back into God's will. Well, that's so foolish. Ruth didn't need to hang out in Moab until she found her some dumb cluck that she could call her own and then try to somehow coax him to come to the promised land to be with God. No! Ruth did it right. And Ruth found God's perfect will. Ruth's decision led, number two, to God's provision. I want you to see this. There's some just a few simple things that are always very encouraging to me about Ruth. Ruth's decision to choose God led to her provision. Ruth and Naomi had make their way to back to God's, the center of God's will, the place of God's blessing. They come back to the promised land and they're there with God's people. And the Bible says and teaches in chapter 2, verse number 3, that she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Here's what happened. The Social Security of the Bible times for two widows was there was a law and a provision in the law that you could go, if you were a widow, that you could go and you when the people were harvesting, the things, the harvest that fell to the ground, they were to leave it. And the reason they were to leave it so that the gleaners could come and pick it up. So Ruth was doing what she had to do to provide for her and Naomi. And she's in the field. She goes to the field. And she goes to the field to glean and to work and to earn so that they can have food. So here's what the Bible says. Ruth goes and begins to glean in the field, verse number 3, after the reapers. The Bible says, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. I've circled in my Bible the little word hap. Her little word hap. It was her hap. It just so happened. It just so happened. It was her hat. Guess what God did? When Ruth said, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to trust God. When she made the decision, God offered the provision, and her hat was to light on the field of Boaz. God put the pieces together. You know what's amazing to me? If you'll let the Lord in your life, He will put the pieces together. If you'll honor Him. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall happen unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. It was her hap. Do you know what God's going to do for you? If you'll choose what's right as opposed to choosing to act in fear and self-righteousness, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see God happen in His perfect will to line things up for you. He's going to make it right. There may be seasons where it doesn't seem like He's lining things up for you, but I'll just tell you something. Anytime God changes your path, it's something that you need to rest in and know that God is in control. You see, she chose God. And God blessed. It was her hap. Folks, I'm resting in the hap of God. He gives us little things along the way. And He's working things all together for our good. And we can rest in that. God's provision, her hap. Number two, her handfuls. I love this. She meets Boaz. Boaz takes a special interest in her. And Boaz says to the young men who are working and gathering the harvest in his field, he says, I want you to do something for me, guys. Look at the Bible says, verse 15. The Bible says, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. What did Boaz tell his servants to do? Boaz told his servants, he said, now, this is what I want you to do. You're gleaning right in front of Ruth. Just every now and then, drop a whole handful. Drop a whole handful on purpose. Give her enough. Give her plenty. And don't you dare reprimand her for getting what she can get. When she goes home today, I want her bag full. And that's how God does us. That's how God does us. Man, I choose what's right, and I think, I don't know how I'm going to get to where I need to get to. Quite frankly, sometimes I don't even know where I need to get to. But if I'll say yes to the Lord, then it will be my hap to land in the right place. And when I've landed in the right place, you know what God does all along the way? Man, He drops a little handful here and a little handful there and a little handful there and a little handful there. And you know what I get the joy of doing? When I'm living in God's will, I get the joy of picking up God's blessings all along the way. Man, sometimes it's not easy serving the Lord. Sometimes it's not easy trying to raise your children for God and His glory. Sometimes it's not easy to fight for your family. Sometimes it's not easy to be faithful to church. But I want you to know something. If you'll choose God and God's will and God's plan for your life, you're going to find yourself where you need to be. And all along the way, God is going to give you just a little handful here, a little handful there. Sometimes it'll be a big old handful. But I'll have you know something. When you've been serving God, you will walk this life and you'll come home with a bag full of blessing and a bag full of joy and a bag full of peace and a bag full of the things that the world can't offer, but God can and will. What'd God do for Ruth? She said, "Yes, Lord." And God led her to the right place. And God gave her the right things and the provision that she needed. You see, God's provision, her hat, her handfuls, number three, her husband. Her husband. Now the big question is, do you think Boaz will marry Ruth? It's an interesting story, and if nothing sinful was done here. If you ever read a commentary, Terry, that says that when Ruth came, here's what happened. Ruth was a foreigner. And Ruth had to lay herself, had to come to the feet of the kinsman redeemer. Now, Boaz was one of two people that we know of in the story that could possibly redeem Ruth. Ruth being a foreigner, the way the law worked, she had to have a kinsman redeemer, someone that was kin to her husband who had passed away. Someone who had the legal right to redeem her. And so, Boaz was one of two. So what did Ruth have to do? In order to be redeemed by the kinsman redeemer, she had to come to his feet. Come to the feet of the redeemer and ask for him to redeem her. So she did just that. One night he was gleaning late. Naomi explained all this to her. And Ruth went and she laid herself at the feet of Boaz. Boaz awakes and sees Naomi and sees Ruth there. He says, "You know what? I want you. I want to redeem you. I'm going to check with the nearest of kin. And if he doesn't want you, I do." That's a fact. And so here's what the Bible says. Verse number 10. He said, "Blessed be thou," verse 10 of chapter 3, sorry. He said, Boaz, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." What happened? It was a very unusual thing that a man like Boaz would show favor to a Moabitess girl like Ruth. But God did that. And God met Ruth's need. And God sent a redeemer. You see, Ruth obeyed the Lord. And God provided. What was it they were all worried about in the beginning? A husband, a husband, a husband, a husband. What give her? What did God give her? When she said yes to God, God provided a husband. It was her hat, it was her handfuls, it was her husband. And finally, God provided her son. I love this. The Bible says in verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." How did God bless Ruth? Ruth got a husband, a good one, a real good one. But that's not all. Ruth got a son. And that son was chosen by God to be the grandfather of David. And it was out of the lineage and line of David that Christ would come. A special child. I'll tell you in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, Ruth is in the lineage of Christ. That's something, isn't it? She had an option. Her option was, get what I need today. I got to get a husband. I got to get a husband. After I get a husband, then I'll serve God. If she had chose that, she'd have made her own decision. But here's what we're tempted to do. I got to pay for the house, and then I'll be faithful to give to the Lord. I got to get a truck, and then I'll be faithful to church. I got to get a wife. I got to get a girlfriend. I got to get a boyfriend. I got to get an education, and then I'll serve the Lord. I'll just have you know something. If you ever look at this world, you say, I got to have this before I can say yes to God. You are choosing something that's very inferior. What would happen if Ruth had said, sorry, I better stay here and get me one of these good-looking Moabite men. What would have happened? Well, I'll tell you, we have not been talking about her tonight, nor would she have the great privilege of being one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. What does God do? It's so simple. God blesses obedience. God blesses obedience. And when we're obeying the Lord, we can rest in His blessing and benefit. Obey the Lord. Leave the results up to Him. And He's going to choose something for you that you could never possibly ever imagine. He blesses us above what we could ever ask or think. God's faithful. God's faithful. Trust Him with your life. Rest in obedience to our faithful God and our Lord. Let's pray.